All right, here we go. My name's Jeff Kay, and you're listening to episode 46 of the West Virginia Surf Report podcast. What's the story with park rangers? Have you ever had any run-ins with these dicks? I have. That might be overselling it, but I've had a few. I told you maybe about a few years ago when I was renting the yurt, trying to get some kind of project off the ground that never went, you know, never panned out. And, I was out there in the yurt, had everything set up. I had my coffee maker going. I had had my laptop set up. I had it all. Everything was perfect. I'm sitting there typing, working. And I hear somebody walk up on the deck of this yurt. So I walk over to the door. There's a screen door, you know. The main door's open. The big, heavy door is open. Screen door's latched. And the guy goes, it's one of those park rangers. This guy with this big pan face. He's got a face like a pie pan. You know what I'm saying? Flat and big and round. This big griddle face, son of a bitch. He goes, what do you think you're doing? I said, what? What do you mean? He said, what are you doing in here? I said, I rented it. You know, I rented this yurt. And he goes, you rented it. You know, just a dick. He just comes into the situation, obviously not knowing what he's talking about, and automatically jumping to conclusions that are wrong, but negative. Always the negative conclusion, right? I said, yes, I'm renting it. He goes, I don't suppose you'd have any kind of paperwork to prove that? I said, yes, I do. As a matter of fact, right here, I do. Right here. And so he snatches it out of my hand like a, ugh. And he goes, you're supposed to put this strip of paper out on this pole, out on the edge of the, I said, nobody told me about that. How am I supposed to know that? Well, they're supposed to tell you when you check in. I said, nobody told me jack shit about that. So, you know, so the guy didn't apologize. He just like walked away. Asshole. All right, I had another run in, also at the yurt. And so the only time I go out there is, I'm getting fired up. All right. The only time I go out there is late in the season or early in the season when school's in session, because I don't want to deal with a bunch of squealing, squawking kids while I'm trying to write the great American novel, you know? So it was late. There was like nobody there. The whole campground was empty, right? There might have been like in the entire campground. There might have been three or four other parties, you know, and we're all spread far apart, you know. It's just a smattering of campers out there. And so I was out there writing, and Tony came out there at night. We're going to have a fire. The kids were, you know, all four of us were out there. So, you know, after I get finished writing, I don't like to be out there after dark. I told you that. And they came out there that night. We're gonna, you know, just gonna have a campfire and just kind of hang out there. And this guy, same guy, old griddle face, comes rolling in, and he goes, "You're only allowed one vehicle. The place is empty. All right, there's nobody out. There's nobody there. The whole campground's empty." You know, the park rules, one vehicle per site. You know, the guy's like all up on his high horse. Comes hard charging in there. Barking orders. I said, man, there's nobody here. So what are you getting? So he goes, it doesn't matter. The rules are the rule. You know, he's getting all right. I said, well, what do you want me to do with that other car? What do you want me to do with that? I said, He goes, you can move it over to the main parking lot. So I had to move the thing over. into the main parking lot, which had no cars in it. It was completely empty. And walk through the woods back to my yurt where there's nobody. There's nobody around. He's just being an asshole. Just to be an asshole. It's not just this guy, though. I've had other run-ins with other park rangers. They've been, I wouldn't say 100% disagreeable, but it's a percentage. It's probably 80. Every time I've ever had any kind of run-in or any kind of interaction, not even a run-in, it's been negative. And I don't know what the story of these people are. I don't know. But we're out there today at the same park with where the yurts are. And Tony and I were just walking around, and you know, we're doing a 2 mile walk for some exercise. And so this one of those guys goes by in their SUV, and I just throw up. I mean, I don't even think about it. I just throw up a hand, like wave at him. You know, as we're walking by, you just shoot me a dirty look. Don't even acknowledge. Doesn't change. The expression on their face doesn't change. They just look at me with contempt. Don't wave back. There's not an ounce of warmth or it's as if they're resentful that people are in the park. You know what I mean? It's like these people at work in retail, and they don't want people coming in the store. I can understand that, I guess. You know, I used to work in retail too, but you know, what are you going to do? What do you want? No customers? I mean, I don't think it's going to work out in your benefit. Anyway, I was walking by this guy today, throw up my hand. Hey, you doing? You know, good nature, folksy way. The guy just like stares straight back at me with utter contempt. What's the story with the park rangers? Can somebody explain that to me? Good Lord. And before we get into this thing, we're already pretty deep into it. There's no theme to this one. I just got some notes. So next thing in my notebook, I've been watching that. I've been trying to power through The Fugitive. I mentioned this before about the Fugitive TV show. It was on in the 60s. And I've always been, I've always heard it was a really good show, and I've been intrigued by it. So several years ago, I bought the box set, the DVD box set. And I watched the first three seasons, really good. They're all in black and white, really good. And then you get to season four, which is the final season, and it's color, it's in color, and it has a completely different, I don't know if they got different producers, showrunners, I don't know, different writers. The whole thing changed, in my opinion, and it became ridiculous. You know, this guy, all right. So this guy's, he's running from the law, right? And he's the fugitive. That's what he does. He's the fugitive and he's running from the law, you know? They go hand in hand. So every episode he's in a different town, using a different name, working some menial job. He's like a frickin', he's a surgeon or something. He's a medical doctor. And he's like, in every episode, he's like a bartender or like, cleaning stables. Saw one last night where he's like going out on some fishing boat with this guy, you know, pulling in, you know, he's like a deep sea fisherman. So every episode's a different cast, different, you know, and every town he goes into, he gets wrapped up in some kind of, some kind of crazy shit that I have never, the kind of shit that I have never been wrapped up in my entire life. And he does it every week. It's like he goes somewhere. He's working helping some veterinarian. He's like, and next thing you know, he's involved in some kind of like kidnapping scheme, or there's some kind of religious cult, you know. Some kind of, you know, that kind of stuff. Everywhere he goes, he can't just, this guy is the world's worst at just laying low, you know? And so anyway, season four is a slog. It's hard to get through, but I want to see the final episode, which is a two-parter, which were, at the time, those two episodes were the most watched scripted, I think, TV show of all time, I believe. There was other stuff like when the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan and stuff like that, but talking about scripted TV, I believe if it was not the most watched show of all time, it was one of the top three or something. So I want to get to the end of this thing. So I'm not willing to just jump to those last. I want to see it all. So I'm watching these things. They're not good. They're poorly written. There's giant gaping holes in the story, the stories. I'm like, are you serious? That's ludicrous. That's what I say. So I'm watching them. And I mentioned this before. I did this before when I was watching this season four. Okay, I would watch an episode, and I'm doing it again. It's not something I'm doing on purpose. I don't know. I'm driven to do this. I watch an episode, and then immediately go onto IMDb, pull up that episode, and I look at each person in the cast and see if they're alive. Is that morbid? This is in 1966. Season four aired in 1966. And it appears to me, almost without exception, that every person who was an adult, I'm talking, I'd say, past the age of 30, any person who was past the age of 30 in 1966 is dead. Dead as a hammer. My research is, and I mean, admittedly, it's not foolproof, but from what I can tell, everybody who was above 30 in 1966 is now dead. All right. So I mentioned this to Tony, and she goes, yeah. I mean, that was 50 years ago. You know, do the math. I said, no, you're missing the point. Everybody misses the point. The point, and I left this part out, so I can't really blame her, but the point is, I have my earliest memory, the earliest thing I can remember in my life is when we were living in this apartment in Dunbar, West Virginia. My parents and my brother, my brother, he was around, so it was the four of us. We're living in this garage apartment behind this house. Upstairs over a garage, right? And me and this girl, this little girl, this is my earliest memory. I was three, by the way, 3 years old. The girl was, from what I can tell, from the research, she was maybe like five, a little bit older. So we're drawing on the sidewalk with, I don't know, chalk or something. I don't know. And this woman who lived in the house in the front, so the garage was in the back of the house. There's a house on the front of the lot. The woman that lived in that house, she was the mother of this little girl. And we were drawing all over the sidewalk with chalk, I think. And this woman comes out there and starts flipping out, yelling at us not to draw on the sidewalk. And she goes in and she gets a big pan of water and starts pouring it on the chalk where we drew on it, you know. So that is, as far as I can tell, my first memory. I was three, and I asked my mom I said, when did we live in that apartment? Because we didn't live there very long. And she was, she had to do some, some calculations and stuff. And it was, 1966, right? You see where I'm going with this? Okay, 1966, the same year as season four of The Fugitive. So I have memories, real life memory. I have, and it's a small little episode from my life, but I can recall something that specifically happened, and my mom confirmed. She remembers when this crazy, my mom said she was insane, said this woman was insane. And, I mean, not technically, but she was a lot, you know, she was hard to deal with, you know? And, so She confirmed that she said, "I can't believe you remember that. I mean, that's crazy." But anyway, so that was in 1966. I have real life memory of that world. I mean, I don't remember The Fugitive because I was 3, but I remember a little snippet of that world. And every adult, every person over the age of 30, dead as a hammer. Now that's the disturbing part. I mean, that's scary. I mean, I'm sure there's people that were around, a handful, but according to IMDb, all these actors, all these actresses, all dead. So I don't know. So I was telling Tony about that. She's like, "I don't want you to get, I mean, what, so that was a long time ago. It wasn't that long ago. I could remember it." So anyway, is that weird? Is that morbid to sit and just like, as soon as the episode's over, just instantly click over to IMDb and start checking for death? I know how to enjoy a television show. That season 4, though, it's terrible. It's something else. And I think there's like 30 episodes. So I might be 10 in, and it's not fun. Yesterday, Tony and I went and looked at treadmills. I went to the gym for a while, and I liked it. I didn't have any trouble. I didn't have any problems. I enjoyed it. It was good for the mental health to get up on a treadmill and walk for an hour. And as I went, I upped the speed on it. So, you know, I've kept my distance, my virtual distance kept getting farther and farther. So I liked it. It's just that the gym is not anywhere near my house. So I ended up saying, screw that, you know. I would listen to Zip's podcast, my friend Zip, my producer. And I don't know. He helps me, you know, in certain ways. And that was my ritual. I'd go over there and I would listen to Zip's podcast, Zip and Bob and Zip. And I would walk for an hour and listen to their show. And it was funny. It was good. And I enjoyed it. But the drive over there, it was in the winter. And I would be like freezing my ass off. And there'd be like, you know, I'd have to scrape my windshield. It's like, screw this, you know. So Tony and I both were like, we should get like how much would it cost us to get some real, not some cheap ass thing, like a real treadmill, like they have in a gym. So we went over to Dick's, which is the worst name for any business, Dick's. Don't do any Google searches for that company, for that store, by the way. If you put Dick's into Google, mister, your life's about ready to take an unexpected turn. Anyway, we went over there, and we're talking $1,500. They have cheaper ones, but if I get my heft up on that thing, and I start getting it all in motion, get that heft in motion, I have a feeling that the bolts would start working their way out. You know, they'd start coming unscrewed, and within 3-4 months, whole thing would collapse. Right? I need some heavy duty, you know, a real gym quality piece of equipment. $1,500, bottom of the line, or that's the base. They go up from there. So that's what I can tell. So I don't know. Got it in my head. I want one of those now. I don't know. It never ends. I'm always looking, you know. But I got it in my head. I want one of those. And I'd have to pay the $300 delivery fee and setup fee. $300. That seemed excessive. I think it is. Anyway, that's my latest obsession. I'll add that to SUVs, a new SUV, trade my car in, and add that into that Yeti cooler. I mentioned that. My throat, something's going on with my throat. Did I mention I'm like obsessed with the big Yeti cooler with the wheels on it? $400. I don't know, it never ends. So anyway, we went and looked at those yesterday. I don't know, that'll probably never happen. But also today, check this out. I ordered from Amazon, I ordered a lapel microphone. You can plug it straight into your phone and record while you're driving, when, you know, while you're walking, that could open up a whole new world. So when I'm go to my parents, for instance, which I'm planning to do in the next few weeks, I can record a podcast while driving through Maryland or West Virginia or Pennsylvania. I can record a podcast. I could walk around Dunbar if I wanted to. I could walk my old paper out and do a podcast. What do you think about that? Tony fails to see the significance of this. But anyway, it came in the mail today on Sunday. Amazon has forced the U.S. Postal Service to deliver packages on Sunday, which I applaud. So that thing arrived today. We'll see how that works out. That could open up a whole new world. We'll see how it goes. But when I go to West Virginia in 2-3 weeks from now, we haven't hammered down the date. I'm gonna try to record an entire podcast episode while driving towards West Virginia. Maybe I'll do one on the way back too, if it goes well. We'll see how it goes. So that's it. Let's see what else I got in here. Oh, the Reds, 12 games left. Oh, there's only 12 games. Well, they're playing right now as I record this. So there's, after today's game, there's 12 games left. So I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna have to go into detox. I'll go to the Betty Ford Clinic, maybe. No. It's going to be rough because I'm like obsessed with it now. And I don't know what I'm going to do without baseball. What I did last summer or winter, last winter, there's a podcast called Red Leg Nation. Comes out every Friday. There's another one, the Hot Stove League, which is Reds announcers just bringing you up to date. And that came out every Wednesday. And then there's others. There's like a Reddit board, a Reds Reddit board, various things. Try to just, and then they have these dates built in, like a trade deadline, this, and a, you know, this has to be done. So there's like little dates throughout the winter that they have to get things done by, you know. So there's a little drama there. So that'll have to do. It sucks. It's going to be a long winter, although, you know, I'm so old at this point. This winter will go by like that. So before I know it, it'll be spring training again, and we'll be right with the world. I'm coughing. I keep having to put this thing on pause. Coughing. I don't know what the hell's going on. I got some kind of tickle in my throat. It's causing me great anguish. I was doing so well at the beginning. I don't know. Now I've got this tickle. All right, last thing on my list here. Sandwiches. Told you there's no theme. Why? Okay, there's this restaurant near us called Tully's. It's some kind of New York State chain. So there's several of them in New York. And then the only one that's outside of New York State is the one here in Clark Summit where I live. It's called Tully's. Tully apostrophe S. And when they opened up, I'm like, that looks like bullshit, you know? I wrote it off. I don't know why. I wasn't familiar with that. It looked like some, I don't know. It replaced this, what's that place called? I can't remember. It was some sort of a place that sold ribs. And I hated it. Same building. So I kind of decided it was the same kind of business. Anyway, I ended up loving it, so I love that. I love the Tully's. And they have this sandwich in there, and it's imaginatively called, you ready for this? The Tully. And that thing's so good. It's so simple and so good, I can't believe it. I believe all it is ham, turkey, bacon, lettuce, and tomato, and it's grilled. And it has no dressing. It has nothing. That's all it has. Oh, cheese. I'm sorry. It has American cheese on it. That's all there is to it. And it's perfect. I love it. Every time I go there, I get it. I'll never go there and not order the Tully. So I think that thing is so easy. It should be so easy to recreate at home. So I've attempted it, and it's never as good. It tastes different. I try to, I mean, every time I go there, I'm like trying to decide. I'm like taking pictures of it, you know, trying to figure out, trying to unlock the secret of this thing. And it seems so simple. Why can you never recreate those sandwiches at home? I think a lot of it has to do with the lettuce. I don't know why. I think the lettuce and then the tomato tastes different at home than it does in a restaurant. The ham and the turkey and, I don't know, the bacon. I don't generally put bacon on a sandwich at home. Those things, you can recreate those. Somehow, and I can't figure it out. Why is the lettuce, it's just iceberg lettuce. It's like shredded, though. Shredded iceberg lettuce and a couple of slices of tomato. Why is it totally different than what you get at home? Why? How is this happening? I don't know. It's making me crazy. So I've been going over to this place, this grocery store that sells like a boar's head and all that stuff. All these fancy meats, you know. And I've been dabbling in this and experimenting with that. I cannot recreate the Tully. I can't recreate any kind of like restaurant. It always tastes like a homemade sandwich. Not that that's bad, but what's the difference? Why is it better? So this is maddening to me. In fact, as soon as I hit stop on this thing, I'm heading over to the grocery store. I'm going to buy this ham off the bone, as they call it. And I'm not going to try to do the Tully, but I'm going to try to create something that tastes like it came out of a kitchen of a restaurant in my kitchen at home. And it's an elusive goal that I've not been able to recreate. Why do sandwiches taste better in a restaurant? Why? I mean, especially something so simple as that. And we're at the end of this thing. I don't know what's going on with my throat. I got some tickle in there. Feels like there's something stuck in there, fluttering. So I'm gonna call it a day. I hope you guys have yourselves a great week. And if you want to double down on the Surf Report podcast, do it. Head on over to patreon.com/JeffK. That's patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up for a patronage, $4 or more. It's a monthly donation. It can be any amount. $4 will unlock the audio, though. It'll give you access to the second show every week. So if you're interested in hearing two of these a week instead of just one, patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up for a patronage of $4 or more. Helps me a great deal. I appreciate it. And my way of saying thank you is an extra show for your ears only every single week. So do it today. Also, we have a hotline you can call into, 570-290-8151. Call it, leave a message, ask a question, whatever you want to do, suggestion, whatever. And I will most likely use it in a future episode. So do that today. That's 570-290-8151. And I'm going to call it a day. Hope you guys have a great one. I'll see you again soon. Bye. I don't know what's going on with my throat. I got some tickle in there.